Hi, this is Rachel Chen, Aaron Huff, and Gary Wilkins.
And we're here to talk about how digital media has affected sports as a mass social experience.
Throughout our interview, we decided to interview three prominent members on Furman campus, including Dwight Covington, Seth Harrison, and Dr. Armstrong, to provide a communication, sports marketing, and a digital media perspective.
As someone who grew up in China, where sports are not exactly as prominently advertised in America, I never really had the experience or really interested in watching sports as a child, as it's never really part of our culture. Other than when China goes to the Olympics, collectively as a whole, we don't really incorporate sports into our conversations on a daily basis. In fact, even the people that do actually follow sports in China don't even really follow Chinese sports players. They follow American basketball players like LeBron James or Kobe Bryant. Personally, growing up as a child, I spent most of my summers reading and practicing how to write good essays, or I would have piano or art lessons, and so did most of my friends and the people that I knew. Now that I am at Furman University, where football is such a big part of the culture, it's a huge culture shock just being part of the spectator audience at a football game, since we don't even have football in China. Because I missed out on all those experiences, I was interested in getting the perspective of someone who is passionate about sports. I decided to get the perspective of Dr. Armstrong, who is a communications professor here at Furman University. He's not only an expert in communications, specifically in broadcast, but is also a sports fan and follows the Manchester United soccer team in particular. As a sports fan, Dr. Armstrong has generously provided us with his insights and experiences, including what it was like following sports before the digital age as a spectator, and the changes in sports advertising he has seen with the development of social media. This is Rachel Chen speaking with Dr. Armstrong of the Communications Department. As some of you may know, Dr. Armstrong is known for his expertise in broadcast communications. Again, thank you for meeting me today on such short notice. How would you say sports and the media has evolved in the last few generations?
I think it's become, the relationship has become more intense and more important in society as time progresses. Sports and the media had quite a large impact on society going back to the 1920s. And even before that, but the 1920s were called the golden age of sports. But it's really gotten bigger and bigger, especially with the advent of television in the 1950s. Sports have become a very important part of television programming. It's still one of the few reliable forms of television programming that will bring in a large audience. It attracts a young male audience, which is really hard to get for advertisers through any other medium. So the future looks bright for television and sports.
Mm-hmm. In your opinion, has advertising of sports on the internet taken business away from other traditional news sources, such as the radio or newspaper, etc.?
And newspapers are getting thinner and thinner in the sense that they're carrying fewer and fewer advertisements, and they've really been hit hard. And a number of newspapers in the USA and around the world have gone out of business in the last 10 to 15 years. And this is, for the most part, from direct competition from the internet.
How were sports advertised during your college years? What are some of the main differences you see between now and back then?
There's just a lot more sports available on television. And certainly cable television barely existed when I was in college in the 1970s.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there were just the major networks, for the most part, and there were only three major networks carrying sports. And it's still kind of a shock to me on a Saturday. You know, if you go through the cable channels, you'll have, oftentimes two of the three over-the-air broadcast networks like NBC and CBS or ABC or Fox carrying college football games at any given time. And then ESPN, ESPN1, ESPN2, ESPNU, Fox Sports, NBC Sports, and they're all carrying college football games on Saturdays. And so there's way more available than there used to be. And it's also possible to go to, for example, ESPN3 online and stream other college football games that aren't broadcast on television. And the same, I think, is true with college basketball as well. So there's a lot of that, and there are also more outlets available for pro sports. So there's just a real glut of sports programming on television, but it doesn't seem to have reached a saturation point because, you know, the public keeps watching in ever greater numbers, so it seems.
I think that's all my questions for today. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay, you're welcome, Rachel.
After hearing Dr. Armstrong's perspective on social media, I thought about how he was talking about newspapers and the fact that even though they probably won't disappear for a while, but are definitely diminishing. I can definitely sympathize with that as a writer for the newspaper at school. Our editor prints thousands of copies each month for each issue, yet I can't even get most of my friends to pick up a copy. The newspaper is slowly transitioning to an online version, though, which will hopefully be more popular to students at Furman in the future. I also thought it was interesting about how Dr. Armstrong mentioned that television programming of sports is really one of the ways to bring in a large audience. Just like on a daily basis, a lot of my friends here will disappear for one weekend, and then I'll find out that they were watching a game of their respective favorite football team that was playing on television. I remember when I was younger, I was in the States on vacation for, I think, Chinese New Year, ironically. And I remember my family and I were walking around, and literally everywhere we went, people were playing the Super Bowl game on television in the background. People were, like, intensely watching the game as they were eating and having these bets on who was going to win. Of course, I didn't and still don't understand the game, even after 2 years of living in the South, so I was really confused. Dr. Armstrong, on the other hand, who is a huge fan, didn't even really get to experience it the way we do now when he was in college, so I definitely feel like I should probably take advantage of and embrace the fact that I have such easy access. I mean, there's everything from websites with the players and game statistics to iPhone apps, and I remember I downloaded one of them for the Olympics because I really like watching diving, swimming, and gymnastics. I didn't even know until Dr. Armstrong mentioned that you can stream the games online, which makes it so easy for fans to watch in the comfort of their own home. Now that we've heard the perspective of a communications expert, we're now going to hear from Seth Harrison, whose expertise is in digital media.
Hi, this is Aaron Huff. As Rachel mentioned earlier, I decided to speak with one of our senior digital experts, Seth Harrison. And while speaking with Seth, I feel like I gained a lot of insight into the history of digital media. As you will soon hear from our interview, Seth provided a rare look at the world of sports prior to the introduction of digital media, and Seth went on to describe those changes and how they have not only affected the way we interact with sports, but also the way we interact with one another. Now, moving on to our interview, Seth will explain his experiences with the use of digital media and how that has changed over his lifetime.
I've been involved with things in the communication for most of my life. I spent 32 years as an engineer with a telephone company, so I know telecommunications real well. And I also got involved with computers somewhere along the line, and putting those together with my interest in photography, and I've been doing that pretty much all my life.
Well, my first question is, how has the social aspect of sports changed prior to the development of digital media? From your perspective?
Traditionally, discussions about sports have been done face-to-face, whether it's been done in bars or in family gatherings or in get-togethers around campus or whatever. And it's changed to an online world now where you have Facebook and Twitter and all these other websites and everything where people can talk and discuss and get up-to-the-minute information in real time. That's the main difference.
So you're saying we've gone from a trend of interpersonal communication to mass communication?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, that leads us to our next question, and it's actually a contrast, and I'd like to know, how do you feel that sport coverage has remained the same given the addition of digital media?
We've always had commentary that would talk about sports. Now I think we have a lot more of them, and of course some of those have gone beyond the talking head, which is what they've traditionally done, to the world of Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and blogs, of course.
Well, my next question actually excludes the internet. So excluding the internet, what other forms of digital media do you feel have had the greatest impact on sports as a mass social experience?
That's interesting. Well, let's see what I can do with NASCAR, because that's one I know the most about.
Absolutely. Anything you want to talk about?
NASCAR, I have a lot of experience in that area, because I used to shoot film in NASCAR races.
Oh, that's very interesting.
And this is before video even existed.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was very challenging to get even 5 minutes of a NASCAR race on TV.
Was it the compression that was so difficult?
No. It was the TV station's willingness to give broadcast time to the race.
Oh.
They didn't do that.
It's interesting. I never would have thought of it from that perspective.
No. So after video came along in the 80s, then the cost of production came down. Then TV started covering it more. But before 1980, TV didn't cover much NASCAR. Maybe 5 minutes, maybe who won, maybe a shot of the winner or something like that. That's about it.
So would they just record the major sports events like the Super Bowl, but not really go into a lot of the other niche sports?
That's correct. That's absolutely correct. Because that's all they had time for. Remember, back then we had three channels in any given community or less, and there just wasn't that much airtime.
Yeah.
So make a big difference.
Well, that actually leads me to our final question. What changes in digital media do you predict in the next 10 years?
Well, everybody's going to be filming the races and broadcasting them. It's somewhat happening now with concerts where people go and take their iPads, iPhones, whatever, and you can look online at any concert today, and you'll find 100 different clips, all from the same concert.
That actually brings up a very interesting point. Now that you've mentioned that we bring all of our social media devices to these sporting events, do you feel that that takes away from the experience, or do you feel that that adds to the experience for those not there?
I will tell you one specific situation that takes away from it. I went to a Christmas concert, and there was a child there with their parents. The child had an iPad. He was holding that iPad up. I was sitting behind him. He was filming the entire thing. But for me, it was distracting, because I came to experience the concert in person, and I didn't particularly care to be distracted by a iPad screen 6 feet away from me.
Well, I really appreciate your time, Seth, and I feel that we got a lot of insight.
Growing up, I remember playing football and baseball from an early age. I came from a lineage of athletes in my family, so it was only right that I did too. In my youth, you would catch me watching games with my dad on TV, or at the Georgia Dome watching the Falcons play from the sideline. From then to now, the growth and development of the sports culture and the technology itself has changed drastically. Being a college athlete, like myself, I tend to focus on playing the game and not so much on what goes on behind the scenes. My dad played professionally in the NFL for 6 years, and when I go to look up his old highlights or game clips, you can't find them. The only thing you can find is newspaper articles or maybe old interviews. The reason why is because we did not have that type of coverage back then. In today's generation, we have seen the evolution of media into a digital format as our society has become increasingly more tech-savvy. Along with the advancements in social media, we have seen several developments in the way we present sports. With the wide variety of media outlets for sports, we have seen a lot of innovations that provide detail and a more in-depth analysis as to what is going on and more ways to keep up with sports.
To give a more in-depth analysis and a first-hand eyewitness perspective, we thought it would be beneficial to interview Furman's sports marketing expert.
To help me grasp a better understanding, I spoke with Dwight Covington. Dwight is our sports marketing expert who can be seen at just about all of our athletic events here on campus. He is experienced with technology, as he was the driving force behind getting Furman Athletics circulated into social media, which began with the reconstruction of the athletic website in order to be more social media friendly.
He has learned from hands-on experience and by doing so. He is also known for his marketing strategies, as he is the designer for most of the Furman Athletic posters.
I asked the White a few questions to help us with our understanding.
Seeing with all of your expertise and knowledge, what would you say is the most influential tool in sports marketing?
Well, I think video is one, certainly. And if you look at the NFL, NFL has realized this in many, many ways, and they've grown into it over a period of time with television leading the way. But if you look at an NFL game, there are approximately 40 cameras on the field, just on the field, at every game, from every angle. They may have a camera on a linebacker. They may have a linebacker mic'd up. That's the kind of thing that they're capturing and doing. And of course, it captures the fans. But I think video is certainly number one. Right in there with it is Twitter. Twitter is instant. Instagram, you can post something. So you've got all this fan participation now that I think is way beyond what anybody ever dreamed it would be, and I think it will just get bigger and bigger as fans learn how to use it, and it makes them, in a sense, part of the game, even though they're not out there on the field.
So how has social media helped expand the Furman bubble?
Everything's designed to drive traffic back to our website. The tweets are, if you would think of tweets as a mini sports release. So it's like our SIDs can do a small release in 140 words or less and attach a picture, they can attach a video, they can attach a comment like a blog here, an MP3 file, and then blast that out to the world.
I know even through the Instagram videos that they come out with at the beginning of the year when they release the jersey, you go look at the video and it'll link you to the website.
It suddenly takes you to another place, to another place. I think that's the magic.
Which sport do you believe has benefited the most from digital media?
I think it's across the board. You can look at any team out there. I think it's created sports. I think it's created Ultimate Fighting.
In high school or middle school, we had all the viral videos of Kimbo Slice, mm-hmm. online fights from YouTube.
The GoPro, the one I've got sitting on my desk, mm-hmm. you've seen that used in a lot of the X game type sport, and it's so readily available.
Do you believe that the advances in technology and digital media have helped or hindered our social experience of sports?
You want to say a lot of times to folks, put your phones down and experience the moment and experience folks around you. Just shut your phone off or put it in your pocket or whatever. If you're filming it, then you're in the moment, in my mind. But if you're sitting there looking, if you're texting to a friend that's in Chicago, and you got something else going on in front of you and with a bunch of people, that's almost to the point of rudeness. You'd rather, in other words, be in the moment where you are But you see folks all the time that are on their phones, and I think that you do lose some of that. But what classic example, when we played Florida 2 years ago, I looked up in the stands, and it's really the first time I really ever noticed this. Half the people were sitting there watching the game. The other half, mostly the younger crowd, was sitting there looking at their phone. What they were doing at the Florida game was they were all Googling Furman to find out who the heck it was that they were playing. Because we were beating the living daylights out of them. And my phone, that's right, my phone, I was standing there on the sidelines, my camera battery died. And I held this iPhone up, and Will King came down the sidelines for about a 33-yard gain down to the two. And then turned around and sent it to ESPN. And they played it. It was on ES, best shot I got all year. I got it with my iPhone.
Some more areas of digital media that have evolved even more is the actual television programming. Dwight talks about the important tools of sports marketing, and it can be seen with the emergence of different NCAA conferences that are catering their athletic programs and teams, as these individual networks can show games, highlights, and interviews from around their conference. The SEC network is a good example, as it is popular for football and basketball. This allows games that might not get televised an opportunity to be seen and kept up with as highlights are presented during the programming. Another aspect that is valuable to the social experience is the fan participation. 20 or even 10 years ago, you would not have fans voting on different things like game predictions on talk shows or tweets that could be responded to from athletes or sports experts. This interaction allows fans to feel a sense of being a part of the team, and with that creates loyalty. Steve Jobs once introduced his iPhone as a revolutionary reinvention with internet capabilities. Well, he wasn't wrong, as iPhones and other smartphones have allowed us to access the internet and look up stats of games and keep up with our favorite teams. It also allows us to stream live footage of games and show videos of highlights and or interviews, which allow us to feel like we are there in those moments.
Now that you've heard our podcast, we hope that you have a better understanding of how digital media affects sports as a mass social experience. From a combination of perspectives, ranging from communication, sports marketing, and of course, digital media.
Once again, this is Rachel Chen, Gary Wilkins, and Aaron Huff signing off.
Thank you.